What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 124. In this episode, I'll discuss causes of fever in critically ill patients. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode124. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. Elevated body temperature is detected in almost half of patients admitted to adult ICUs. Its presence should trigger a thorough search for the etiology. IDSA SCCM guidelines define fever in critically ill adults as a temperature of 38.3 degrees Celsius or greater, with the caveat that a lower threshold should be used in immunocompromised patients who are more likely to harbor a severe illness without significant elevation in body temperature. A recent review article defined fever as 38 degrees Celsius or greater, high fever as 39.5 degrees Celsius or greater, and hyperthermia as 41 degrees Celsius or greater. Severe hyperthermia is different from fever or pyrexia in that it occurs without an increase in the hypothalamic set point. For this reason, severe hyperthermia does not generally respond to antipyretic medications. Causes of severe hyperthermia include medications, endocrine disorders, and heat stroke. I discussed medication-induced severe hyperthermia back in episode 40. The three types of medication-induced hyperthermia are malignant hyperthermia, neuroleptic malignant syndrome, and serotonin syndrome. Muscular rigidity, significant hyperthermia, and autonomic instability are all common features of the three types of medication-induced hyperthermia. A thorough review of the patient's current and recent medications is the best way to tell the difference between these three conditions. The three types of endocrine disorders that cause hyperthermia are thyrotoxicosis, pheochromocytoma, and adrenal crisis. Finally, there's heat stroke. Heat stroke may be classical or exertional. In classic heat stroke, high environmental temperatures overwhelm a patient's ability to dissipate heat. This typically occurs with elderly patients or patients with chronic diseases. In exertional heat stroke, an otherwise healthy patient's ability to maintain normal temperature is disrupted by strenuous physical activity. Fever that's above 38 degrees Celsius but under 41 degrees Celsius is usually associated with an increase in the hypothalamic set point. It may be infectious or non-infectious. During infection, cytokines such as interleukin-1 act as pyrogens and cause an elevation in body temperature. Causes of non-infectious fever are numerous and common. Patients in a surgical ICU are actually more likely to have non-infectious fever than fever from an infectious source. Examples of non-infectious fever are transfusion reactions, drug fever, which I discussed in episode 64, and the most common causes for drug fever are antineoplastics, antimicrobials, CNS agents, and cardiovascular agents. Other examples of non-infectious fever are deep vein thrombosis or pulmonary embolism, septic thrombophlebitis, pancreatitis, acalculus cholecystitis, and this typically occurs in patients with prolonged significant hypotension or patients that are status post non-biliary surgery. Then postoperative fever, which may or may not be due to lung atelectasis, and finally neurological insults such as subarachnoid hemorrhage, traumatic brain injury, or intracerebral hemorrhage. The authors of a review in the journal Critical Care had the following to say regarding the workup of critically ill patients with fever. Guidelines recommend a clinically driven, cost-conscious approach rather than a protocolized, dogmatic approach to obtaining cultures and imaging studies in critically ill patients with fever. Based on existing literature that suggests a poor association between fever and the likelihood of a positive culture, yet a high likelihood that fever heralds the presence of an infection, most infections are likely diagnosed based on clinical and radiologic findings. Therefore, we suggest for immunocompetent patients with an elevated body temperature that investigation should be guided by the clinical probability of the etiology. Blood cultures should be obtained in any patient with Rigor's and may be avoided in febrile patients without concomitant systemic inflammatory response syndrome. Listeners can support the show when they shop using my link to Amazon. It will cost you no extra money, and I will receive a small commission from Amazon. Just bookmark and use my link, pharmacyjoe.com/shop, to take you to Amazon each time you shop. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.